This is Minnesota Native News. I'm Marie Rock. This week on Minnesota Native News, an interview with the outgoing chairman of the Midwakaton Sioux Tribe. Reporter Lori Stern sat down with Chairman Vig to hear some of his reflections.
I met with Chairman Vig on the last day of his tenure. He'd been chairman since former longtime chairman Stanley Crooks died in 2012. As vice chairman, it was Charlie Vig's job to take over his chair.
I had no aspiration to be the chairman of this tribe, ever. I think just because I had worked here so long, you know, it comes a time where your name's going to probably be on that list.
Charlie Vig worked his way up from bricklayer to executive at the Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. In one way or another, he's been active with tribal affairs since he moved back when the tribe was first federally recognized back in 1969.
I mean, it has changed so much. There was no roads, hardly gravel roads, if anything. And then, you know, I felt like we were out in the middle of nowhere. They were having their first or early powwows in Shakopee, and I remember being there, you know, down by the river, the car lights being on the powwow grounds. That was our lighting, you know, for when it got late. And it wasn't until the early 80s when the community had moved forward with the gaming or the bingo. And that really changed our community. It started to create jobs, and, you know, so we all had somewhere to work.
So were you raised traditionally? Were there some cultural traditions?
Yeah, yes and no. I was the youngest of eight. So most of my aunts and grandmothers and grandparents were already passing away, you know. So, and I didn't realize it until later in life, actually closer to when I got this job, how the culture had changed for my mother, that age group. My Cushy Mary, or Mary Chunku was her name, was my grandmother's sister. And there was a period of time where she lived with us for a few years before she passed. And she passed away at 103 years old and never spoke English. And so I would be with my mother and her, and I'd always wondered what she was saying, you know. And I was just always curious. And, I'm 10, maybe 14 years old. And then my mother would translate that for me. But I never realized why we didn't learn the language until later on, and I learned more about the boarding school era and what that did, you know, for the people at that time, you know, to not teach the language and our culture.
Chairman Vig's mother was in boarding school. Like so many of his generation, he's been trying to restore some of what was lost. The tribe's financial success has helped. Chairman Vig attributes that success to its location near the Twin Cities, and also to decades of strong, steady leadership. The tribe can point to many accomplishments, like working on infrastructure together with Scott County. It's invested in cultural well-being, from the nutrition program Seeds of Native Health to helping bring back the Dakota language. The Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community is known as the largest philanthropic donor in and to Indian country, and has helped Minnesota tribes with hundreds of millions of dollars of economic development loans. Chairman Vig says of all his accomplishments, he's probably most proud of the building we're sitting in right now, the cultural center that opened last summer.
The Hochokatati building, it's about 84,000 square foot building. Most of that is for our members. If you looked at this from the air, there's a natural waterway that we enhanced to make it represent the river. Our village was just maybe 3 miles to the north of here.
Chairman Vig says he's retiring now because he promised his wife he would, and also because he's leaving the tribe in strong, capable hands.
We've had some battles internally, but I think time heals that, and time, you know, the next generation maybe don't know some of them stories, so they slowly change. And then with our success or progress, we want to make it better, you know. So we want to remember our history, our culture, and just how can we make things better.
Minnesota Native News is produced by Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.